It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45, get you ready for tonight's NBA slate. At 2:30, why does June 10th matter? One of my all-time favorite stand-ups has a birthday today. And in mere minutes, we are talking about the college football playoff expansion. Now that it seems like the number of teams seems to be set with regards to hammering out some of those other logistics. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Hour number three on a Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. Now people are sending us texts about places on the playground where they like to do dirty things. Way to go, Trey. Spring base rocking horse, rope bridge, suspension bridge, tetherball pole, good for 11-year-old. What? And then someone going into way too much detail about how the monkey bars can actually benefit a particular thing. No.
Telling you,
we don't need all of that detail, but thank you so much for that story.
Good for the shoulders and some other things, Chad.
And cardio is important. That came out of the story of Trey discussing the great state of Florida and a couple that got in trouble on a playground at 9 o'clock at night because they were engaged in a couple of activities after being engaged with cheap vodka and Four Loko.
They were in one of the tubes.
Yes.
Which, in my opinion, is one of the worst places to try stuff. But
it's a
that's
horrible
because
idea.
I have claustrophobia.
Me too.
So I would be way too distracted by the closed-in surroundings to actually make things happen.
Yeah, it'd be like if somebody told me they were going to do something in a culvert, like down inside the pipe when you get, you know, like you're going under a street or something.
Yeah.
No, that's not where that needs to happen.
Hey, why don't you two go sneak into the MRI machine?
Yeah, right.
No.
That is not where it's going. The spring-based rocking horse, I would like to have a conversation with that person as to exactly what they mean, because that's now got me interested. Something else that's got me interested is this college football playoff discussion. We will definitely jump into that. We've hit a lot of different things today, including the just wicked, awful, sinister story of it's kind of the developed Bo Schembechler conversation at Michigan, the investigation they continue to do, but now his adopted son, who's now 62, says that Bo Schembechler was told, that he told his dad in the late 60s about the doctor, Robert Anderson, and the fact that he had done something inappropriate to him and basically groped him during a physical. Bo Schembechler not only ignored it, but got upset, got physical with both the child and his wife at the time, and according to his son, that is the first time Bo Schembechler close fist punched him in his life, punched him up across the kitchen, essentially. I hate to say hope in that situation, but I would hope it was his chest. He didn't punch the kid in the face. Hopefully not. But just an awful story. Again, if you're a Michigan fan, I do not know what to tell you to do with that story. But now your school is kind of is living a story that has, unfortunately, some Penn State elements to it, including your legendary godlike status coach and what he may have known and when he may have known it.
Yeah, I'll tell you where to start, Michigan fans. Take down the statue of Bo Schembechler.
That should
no longer be up.
That's probably going to happen.
Despicable on so many levels. And I'm stripping the sports away here, although plenty of people involved with sports were affected by this monster. And I'm just going right down to your own child, your own 10-year-old child, gains the courage to actually tell you something terrible that happened to him. And your response is to get physical with him and his mom, your wife, and also defend this monster and make sure he stays on the job, which then leads to more than 800 people coming forward 60 years later, 50 years later, saying that they experienced abuse within his treatment. It's a damn shame, Chad.
It's horrific, man. The Penn State thing, chronologically, in terms of when the stories were coming out, that would have been first. And then, of course, you had the Michigan State thing with Nassar and all of that, just wickedness and awfulness. And just in all three cases now, you had this Michigan thing. In all three cases, you have so many different instances of say something, stand up, be the adult, be in this case, be the father that you're supposed to be. And stop caring so much. You brought this great point earlier. I asked why would the team doctor be so important? But specifically, you've just started. You just started at Michigan. Did you know him before? Was he like your best friend or something?
And
like,
that guy hadn't been there for a long time either. He had been there since 66.
66, right. He'd been there 3 years. That's crazy. So we've talked about the Bo Schembechler story. It is awful. It is horrible, but we did feel like we needed to mention it today, that Bo Schembechler might have known back into the late 60s about Dr. Robert Anderson and what was going on. That investigation, I believe, continues at Michigan, and at some point there may be like a big official report, and maybe Michigan will comment on what they think Bo Schembechler might have known and when. The other college football story that we're getting into today, we started it yesterday talking about the expanded playoff of the committee that'll get together. Remember, it's SEC commissioner, Big 12 commissioner, the Mountain West commissioner, and Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame. They're the small committee that's supposed to report to the bigger committee. But apparently, Trey, today, Heather Dinich of ESPN is continuing the story here and talking about the management committee. They'll consider expanding to the 12-team format, as we talked about yesterday. And apparently there's a 3-page proposal that they got a hold of, and exactly what they're calling for. So we get a couple more details here. Tell me what you think of this idea. They're calling for a bracket that includes the 6 highest-ranked conference champions and the 6 remaining highest-ranked teams as determined by a selection committee. Are you okay with the 6 highest-ranked conference champions?
Why don't we just go with the 12 best-ranked teams? I mean, I guess there's some nefariousness that could come into play at that point, but if we're not going with Power 5 plus 1, which I'm fine with, by the way,
mm-hmm.
why are we insisting on 6 champs? Because what about the risk? And I admit that it's an outside risk, but what if you get 2 champs that are outside of that top 12? It's possible.
I guess it might be, right? Theoretically, I guess that could be possible.
All it takes is one Power 5 conference to suck, to be down. We're looking at you, Pac-12.
How dare you?
And there only being one true-on qualifier within the group of 5 that makes sense to put into that playoff. And at that point, you're dealing with a little bit of an issue.
So, in a weird way, I think this solves a problem that I've heard Kevin and others talk about. Kevin Dunn of the Triple Option, they're coming up, of course, at 3 o'clock, Brad and Rod as well. But Kevin always talks about... Kevin is a historian of college football, and he's always looking for, I think, a certain quality to the football. He doesn't want a team that's involved in the playoff that he feels is just absolutely not worthy. So I know he doesn't love the idea of just automatic qualifier if you win a Power 5 conference. So this might help his issue there. Because let's say, your example, let's say there's a champion in the Pac-12, Washington, I'll make it, but they're like 15th in the country. But there's a group of 5 winner, a Cincinnati or a Coastal, that's higher ranked than that. Wouldn't the Kevin Dunns of the world in that particular year argue, like, well, wait a second, Washington doesn't need to get in just because they won the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of think that this Cincinnati team might deserve it. They're in the top 10, or they're 10 to 15, or they're 10, you know. And if the committee decides they're one of the top 12, then they get in. So remember, the committee loves conference champions as a theory, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why they're throwing this idea in. The more I think about it, the more I kind of like it, because you got to account for your 5 Power 5s being great. If the Power 5s are awesome, they're in. And then one of your group of 5 champions gets in, even if you add 2 or 3 of them, we would maybe assume that there's still going to be a group of 5. If you're that good, if you're a conference champion, you only lost a game, or maybe you didn't lose any, you still have a good chance to be one of the 6 at large.
Yeah, that's true. I'm probably better with this than I am the P5 plus 1, but ultimately I would be fine if they were to just take top 12. Now, here's what I don't want to see. I would be adamantly against this if the 4 best automatic qualifiers, the 4 best conference champs, get that first round bye. If they get ranked 1 through 4, they should not do things that way. Mm-hmm. If the 4th automatic qualifier, let's say it's the Big 12, the Big 12 winner is ranked 6 or 7 in the final poll, that's where they should be slotted in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They should not
saying.
Get the 4 spot. You still give the 4 spot to whatever SEC runner-up existed that year, or Notre Dame or somebody else. Like, though, the top 4 needs to be, or the 4 teams that get the bye need to be the actual top 4.
That's an interesting distinction, and it doesn't give that detail here, but when they say the 6 highest ranked conference champions, you're saying that does not necessarily mean that those six conference champions be the top six.
It shouldn't work that way.
It shouldn't work that way. And I don't know that it necessarily would. That's a great point, though. Also, the proposal states, here's an interesting sentence, quote, no conference would qualify automatically, and there would be no limit on the number of participants from a conference.
Hmm.
That will obviously make a couple of the key Power Fives, I think, happy. But also,
SEC is going to be happy to get six teams in every year.
The SEC would be happy to hear that part of it, right, because they know deep down that even though their conference champion isn't technically locked in, they know they're pretty much locked in. Just like Clemson knows if they win the ACC, they're in.
Yeah.
They're getting in, right?
And in most years, the Power Five conference winner, whatever the conference is going to end up in.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And you just want to, and this may set it up to where in a couple years, weird circumstances, you you reward some of those group of fives. So I kind of like this idea. And remember, in the next week or so in Chicago, drink up. Trey used to live there. Trey will be there. I don't know if he'll be there drinking next week, but he'll be thinking of Chicago next week. They will be marking
I won't be drinking in Chicago next week. I'll be in the studio while you're hopefully drinking in Conroe.
You'll be drinking. Chicago will be having the meetings. But yeah, they're supposed to meet next week and have a little bit of, I guess, preliminary meetings. And then the stories that came out earlier in the week said July 17th and 18th could matter. And now the question, Trey, might be, you know, it's two things. It's some of these details. What are they going to do with the details? And then when? Like, how soon? Because it changes the way teams think. It changes the way coaching works. Mm-hmm. And it also changes living room discussions. Think about how this will change recruiting for a second.
Yeah.
All over the country, that kid that's trying to decide between Alabama, the group, you know, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and really any other school. For the first time, that any other school discussion, they really have a talk that they can get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, look, we know if we win our conference, more than likely we are in this thing. Even if we're not somehow, even if we slip and don't win our conference, we got six at-large spots. So instead of going so far away from home, kid, you're an LA kid. Why would you go all the way to Tuscaloosa? I'm telling you, you go to USC. If we win the Pac-12, they're not leaving us out. Mm-hmm. They won't leave us out of this playoff, and then we're going to prove we're better than Alabama. We're going to prove we're better than Clemson.
Hopefully it does level the playing field a little bit in recruiting to where it's not Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State in that order each and every year with the best recruiting classes in the country.
Yeah, and hopefully it helps. Hopefully it helps coaches and resumes, because just like in basketball, trips to the tournament matter. Trips, you know, runs in the tournament matter. So getting into this 12-team playoff, well, that'll be one step. But then getting to, like, the Final Four will probably be another step.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a win will be a step. Get
sure.
from the round of 12 to round of 8. All those little steps you'll have now, instead of just, well, they went to the Sun Bowl. Okay. And?
So at this point, I'm curious to see when they can make this happen. Like, is it far-fetched to think that this could be in play in 2022? Don't you try and get it going sooner rather than later once you actually agree to something?
I would love to think they could do it. Everything we've heard so far has been not this year and not next year, but I'd love for them to make 22 flexible. And I would love, and here's what's great about it. Think about if you've got Sankey, Swarbrick, and Bowlesby in a room, that mm-hmm. means you are speaking for the SEC powers, Texas, Oklahoma, and Notre Dame. If that group said, start when you want, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because I know one guy that's not afraid of any new idea, and it's Nick Saban.
Right.
Nick will say, I dare you. Let's go 30 teams. I'm still going to win it. What are you talking about? Sure, let's go.
Yeah, and the TV networks aren't going to be objecting. Oh, yeah, you may have to tear up the contract and write a new one for these next couple of years. You know how much more money that's going to mean for them?
See, that's the question, ultimately. I mean, you just hit on it. The moment it happens will be determined by television contracts. How do the networks get together? How do they discuss it? How are they willing to reconcile what's supposed to be coming in, 24?
Mm-hmm.
2024, 25? How do you reconcile all of that? Oh, and here's another thing. How would an expanded playoff impact how Texas and Oklahoma feel about the Big 12? Would it? It would have to change something.
Yeah.
Would they still hate their conference? Would they still want to get out? Would they still want to go off on their own?
I still think that ultimately we need to see a major shift with regards to creating super conferences and then also putting a clear distinction between the Power Five and Group of Five. And that may hurt Group of Five fans' feelings because they're finally feeling like they get to be included in this party. But ultimately, I think you need that distinction to be made. And we can start talking about relegation and moving teams up and moving teams down that are getting it done or that aren't getting it done.
So you want it truly separated.
Yes, I want it truly separated. You have 64 teams. You have these 12 spots right now that teams get to fight it out for. I would be okay with even expanding it to 16 at that point because you are encouraging those 64 teams to actually go in and schedule one another. And they're no longer allowed to include the cupcakes on the schedule.
Oh, you can't
have these Division II opponents anymore, Chad. You have to play other Power 64, I guess I'd call them, competition. And at that point, Texas and A&M don't have any more excuses to not play one another. They should play each and every year.
It'd be wild to see how rivalries like that might work. It would be wild to see if this could affect true balanced scheduling. Could we get college football closer to what the NFL lives with?
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I love about the NFL, the way they stagger out that schedule, and you don't get to pick every game. Sometimes the game's just picked for you.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, this year, Saban, you're playing the comparative team in the Big Ten. So you finished first. Guess who finished first last year? Oh, it's Ohio State. Well, guess what? You're going to Columbus.
Yeah.
He doesn't get a choice in that. Just like NFL teams don't get a choice sometimes of who they are playing. But we'll see if that's where they go. In theory, I agree with you about the Group of Five stuff. I wonder if this kind of setup is going to make Group of Five happy enough because they're thinking, hey, one of us is getting the money every year. One of our conferences gets the money every year. That kind, you know, like, will this setup be enough for them? Because you'd get one team in the playoff, and then you might get another team in a separate bowl game that we're not thinking of.
They're trying too hard to placate to the Group of Five right now. It's not necessary. All you have to do is say the top 12 make it. Take away the automatic bids. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn if a team's not in the top 12. They don't belong in the top 12. They don't belong in the postseason if they're not one of the 12 best teams in college football.
I wouldn't have a problem with that logic because if you get the committee together and you, because again, then you've done what I've been asking for years. You have as many spots as you need. You need six for me because I'm not thinking a Group of Five. I'm not going that far. You need six. If you have an undefeated champion in all Power Five conferences and Notre Dame was undefeated in the same season because they don't technically live in the ACC. If you had that happen, you got to cover that. Well, you're going to go to twice that number, so go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I almost like that thinking, and I think that would make like a Kevin Dunn, like we talked about, Kevin's thinking of, wait a minute, just because you win a conference that sucks doesn't mean you get in. I think the people that think like that would love the idea of, let's just seed 12.
Right.
Just give us the 12. Have the conference championship games, right? Make that a big deal, but that's the other part of it they're trying to play with, Trey. They want that game in Atlanta. Do we need to play that game in Atlanta and that game in Indy and that game in Dallas for something? I do kind of like that idea that if you win that ball game, you're in the playoff. There's something cool about that to me.
Does college baseball do a automatic bid for conference champions, for conference tournament champions, I guess?
Yes.
Okay, so basketball does it as well. You have to do it in football, so I guess ultimately I understand.
Yeah, if you scrap it out, if Mack Brown and North Carolina upset Clemson, even if they've lost a couple games.
So that Texas team in 96 would have made the 12-team playoff.
Yes.
Okay, I see the value there. I'll back off of that one.
The A&M team in 98.
And you know what? That's why I think it's important. And this, you know what? I'm coming back around on this idea.
Okay.
It now makes sense to have the highest ranked the highest ranked conference champions in this playoff because you don't want a year, some fluky year, where 7-6 or 7-5 Pittsburgh somehow beats Clemson, and then so 8-5 Pittsburgh, which is now ranked 23rd in the nation, is all of a sudden going to be in the playoff unless there is a conference champion right. amongst those other however many that are ranked higher than them.
Yeah, there you go. Right. That's a good point. Look at that. Came all the way back around. Okay. That's growth right there. I love this expanded playoff. It's making us think.
Yeah.
We actually get to think about 12 teams for the first time in our lives.
When
How
you
about
think,
this?
When you think about it with just thinking about chalk, it's like just let the 12 best play. But you do have to defend against a fluke happening in the championship game. You just do.
Yeah, you have to think. Right.
It doesn't exist in the Big 12 because it's the two best teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But you have these divisions within conferences where you're not necessarily guaranteeing the two best teams in the conference playing in the championship game.
What you're saying is if Pitt upset somebody in the ACC title game, but they happened to be average that year, they were 7-5 or 8-4, if there was another conference champion, group of five probably, that was higher ranked than them, put them in, and yep. you can kick Pitt out at that point.
Yep.
So it would be by definition winning your conference doesn't get you in. So I think a lot of people might be happy with this thinking. So that is upcoming in college football. Exciting stuff as we sit here 86 days away from Texas and Louisiana in that first game. Up next, let's tell you why June the 10th matters to us. There's a comedian we both dig on the list. There's some food we both dig on the list. And we're talking about your favorite crowd experiences. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
And we go back to where we moved out to the places audit races. I bought it in a can and stirred it with my finger singing.
Grooving through a Thursday. What do you got, Trey?
This is Dr. Dog, Heart It Races.
Dr. Dog.
Yeah, I actually dig these guys. They're a Philadelphia band. I've got a couple of their albums.
I like the sound. Like the sound. Trey started out with the Heartless Bastards idea and has worked his way through a couple different things. We are obviously enjoying that. Also, I'm hoping to be enjoying this Game 3 of the College World Series softball style, but I got a feeling like Oklahoma got it figured out last night. Oklahoma's already up 1-0 on Florida State. They're in the top of the second. They moved this game to a day game since they had to go to Thursday, and there's NBA action tonight. But we'll keep you up to date, get you one more update or two on that one before we get out of here. By the way, that NBA tonight is Brooklyn at Milwaukee. We'll see if the Bucks want to play at all. 6:30 start, and then the Clippers and Utah. Utah up 1-0. Will Kawhi and PG wake up and split in Utah? That's a 9:00 start. Everything is ESPN for NBA tonight. All right, let's get into some birthdays and some food and why today matters. June 10th.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, Trey, since it's a hot day outside, let me start with two cool drinks. Iced tea, yay or nay?
Yeah, I don't mind iced tea. I don't drink a ton of it anymore, and I definitely don't drink it in restaurants after having some friends in the industry 15 to 20 years ago who told me just how gross those iced tea canisters are.
Really?
And the spigots that do get cleaned out from time to time, there's just a lot of crap that ends up building up in those things. You're probably better off not drinking restaurant iced tea.
Makes me glad that I don't drink restaurant iced tea, but it does make me want to tell my wife what you just said. She loves herself some iced tea.
Love a good sun tea, though.
National Iced Tea Day. On a day like today, you might want to grab some. You also might want to grab a Black Cow. Today is National Black Cow Day. Trey, I did not know that that is another name for a root beer float. Had you ever heard that? A Black Cow?
I had, but I never remember it. So I even asked you today, Black Cow Day, what is that? That's a food or a beverage or something. Yeah. And you're like, oh, it's a root beer float. I like root beer floats a lot. Again, it's one of those things that I don't consume a ton of.
Oh my God, they're so good.
At 43, because it's just going to sit with me for the next week, but I respect the hell out of a root beer float. Much better than the Coke float.
Oh, totally agree. Yes, and a Dr. Pepper float is better than a Coke float to me.
Agreed.
So this would go on that list. If my inner child could control the day and it would not hurt my body.
Yeah.
I'm cereal, pizza, ice cream, but this is how I do the ice cream. Root beer, and I'm a blended guy. I don't just do the blob of ice cream with the root beer. No, no, no. I'm going to mix all that up.
Yep.
I need to get that frothy, perfect, you know, shake quality to it there.
Yeah, the froth needs to happen.
Oh, the froth is good. A lot of good root beers for your root beer float. I might start with a good basic A&W kind of root beer. That's always good. IBC is a good root beer for that.
IBC is the one in the glass bottle. Was Correct. It you that was telling me that Abita makes a really good root beer?
A phenomenal root beer. Never had it with a root beer float because I value the root beer a little too much, but it would make a great float.
Main Root, which for some reason I want to say is a Texas company, they make a really good root beer too.
Theirs is good. You got to be into the little bubblier root beer to go that way, but that would do good with the ice cream because it would kind of knock the bubbles down a little bit.
That may help explain why their ginger ale... I like drinking it so much when I have an upset stomach because I like the burn of the ginger ale, but I think you're right. There is some more bubbles going
on. The main root beer is a good bubbly root beer. So a root beer float gets its love today, National Root Beer Float Day, or Black Cow, if you will. Also today, Trey, it is the, what is he today, 53rd birthday of Bill Burr, one of I'd consider him one of my favorite younger comedians. And now he's 53. That doesn't make him younger. But younger wave of comedians. I love Bill Burr.
Top five comedian of the century, no question.
Oh, okay.
Opinion.
All right. I might go there.
He's on that list with Dave Chappelle. I don't know if Joe Rogan quite makes the top five, but Rogan's close. And there are a few other people, too, that I'm just not thinking of right now. That personal preference, I probably include a guy like Anthony Jeselnik.
He's great. He's really good.
Let's see. Mitch Hedberg was in the 2000s, wasn't he?
Technically, I guess he would have been, yeah.
So, yeah, Mitch Hedberg maybe on that list for me, too.
Mitch was so good. God, rest in peace, Mitch Hedberg.
Both he and Jeselnik are really good at the art of the misdirection, where you're not totally sure where they're headed, and then they'll just juke you out and just go someplace completely different, and you crack up.
Any comedian that reminds me of either George Carlin or Bill Hicks or both, I particularly enjoy. And Bill Burr kind of lives in those two houses sometimes with me. A lot of times he'll lean towards that Bill Hicks side of things, just the I don't care. I'm going to present an idea, and if you don't like it, go get a drink or leave or do whatever you want, but I'm going to present this idea. And Burr does that really well. He's so comfortable in his own insanity.
Yep.
I love that about him. Happy 53 to Bill Burr. And if you have Netflix, you have about 26 Bill Burr.
Oh, man.
Stand-ups you could watch?
Well, Paper Tiger is the last one I remember, and that one was pure gold.
It's not that many, but there are a few. I bet there's five of them. I'm going to guess there's five on Netflix you could watch right now.
Yeah, and people tried to cancel Bill Burr, too, over Paper Tiger. He said some risque things, which, by the way, is the point of stand-up comedy, to say risque things that you don't necessarily believe in, but you're also trying to, if you're really good, you're trying to make a larger point there that plenty of simpletons don't understand. It's hilarious to me when somebody tries to cancel Bill Burr. That is maybe the least cancelable guy in an industry where it's pretty impossible to cancel somebody.
Nah, you can't do that. Nah, don't go after him. I agree. This makes me feel young. I've been feeling old lately, Trey, but Kate Upton's only 29 today. That's what I'm talking about. Kate Upton's not 30 years old yet. God love her.
Man, good for Justin Verlander.
Well done,
Cy Young's World Series championships, marrying her. I think they married in Italy. They got a little kid now, too, and she's only 29.
Correct.
I would have assumed early 30s.
Yeah.
Just because she's been around for so long.
That's right, Rash. She's been impactful for a while now, but only 29 years old. Happy birthday to the lovely Kate Upton, Mrs. Justin Verlander.
Yep.
Good for him.
And that's not the only hottie with a birthday today, Chad.
All right.
How about Liz Hurley, who I don't know if she's doing a ton in the acting world anymore, but she's all over Instagram showing off a middle-aged woman's body that looks like she's still somewhere in her 20s.
Plus, when she speaks, that British accent doesn't hurt.
That's nice.
I mean, come on.
She's just got a look about her.
Elizabeth
Hurley.
Can't
help but to be attracted to.
Hadn't gone too far with Dr. Plastic either.
She is. She's been really subtle with things. I think she almost certainly has had plastic surgery because there's just no way you can still look like that. What is she, 56 now?
56 today.
at 56, it's impossible to look like that on your own, or next to impossible, I should say. But she's keeping it subtle. She hasn't jumped that plastic surgery shark just yet.
All right. Now, this one's not known for being very subtle. 59 today for Gina Gershon. What do you think of Gina?
Love Gina. She did a great job in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode a few years ago. This probably would have been 5 or 6 years ago now, actually. And she continues to find ways to grab hold of interesting roles and just do a really good job. Very, very funny.
Yeah.
Actor, yep. Gina Gershon is, which not a lot of people realize, because I think she broke onto the scene with what, Bound, where she played Jennifer Tilly's lover.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
Wild movie from like the mid-1990s, but she's got more talent than I think a lot of folks realize.
Also, she is the villain in one of the great bad movies of all time, Striptease. No. Showgirls. Striptease is Demi Moore.
Yes, that's right.
Showgirls with Elizabeth Berkley. She's the villain.
Yep.
She's fantastic in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
She's so good with that over-the-top Southern accent.
Yes, she is.
Yes, Showgirls is one of my favorite horrible movies of all time, but she's a great villain in that one. Happy birthday to Gina Gershon. On the football side, one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life is 70 today. Dan Fouts. Oregon is that old school. Fouts never got to the Super Bowl. They got close. They went and played in that Cincinnati 40-below game or whatever. But Dan Fouts running Don Coryell's offense was way before its time, and that dude was putting up serious yards rocking that Grizzly Adams beard. Happy birthday to Dan Fouts. And, oh, by the way, he's one of the best analysts that we've had in college football. He is the reason that – he's probably the only reason that Keith Jackson even finished the Texas USC call.
Yeah.
That Keith was dragging himself through it, rooting for USC. Dan Fouts is the guy. Go back and listen to it. He's the one that is gushing over Vince Young. He's a West Coast guy. He went to Oregon. He watches a lot of Pac-10 stuff back in that day. But Fouts was on the Vince Young story early in that game, like, Keith, I don't know how they're going to stop this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. So I've always appreciated Dan Fouts for not only that, but I love his analysis. He's one of the best just X's and O's, you know, normal announcer guy. We don't have to have a character. We don't have to have a shtick.
It's true.
Don't have to have a bit. We're just going to be Dan Fouts.
Yep.
I dig him. Knows a ton of football.
I'm with you on that one.
Happy birthday to Mr. Fouts today. Also, one other piece of food. How about an egg roll? National Egg Roll Day. You like an egg roll?
I'll do the egg roll every so often, but my wife and kids love the egg roll. So whenever we go the Chinese route, or maybe it's the mixed Asian fare, then the egg roll is almost always getting ordered.
Now, one of your favorite things in the food world belongs to the egg roll for me, and that is yellow mustard. Just regular yellow mustard with any and all egg rolls is my favorite.
That's a spicy mustard.
No. Regular yellow. I'm a simple man when it comes to these things.
You're saying you put yellow mustard on your plate and dip it in the egg roll.
Yes.
I'll give that a try.
Chicken egg roll, veggie egg roll. It does not matter what I've ordered. I will drag it through the yellow mustard every time.
Count me in on that one.
It's fantastic. All right, coming up, stems and seeds before we get out of here, including that good news for Texas basketball and another big visit coming to town. Plus, we'll get you set for tonight's NBA action and reiterate the new idea, the expanded idea for a college football playoff. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
What is that?
Another Austin band, Chad. The Black Angels.
Wow.
Young Men Dead.
Dude, that is a there's something coming over the hill kind of a start to a song, and it might punch you in the face.
It's a great start.
That's a great start to a song. The Black Angels. All right, check it out.
Austin's psych godfathers.
You know, Trey, this Austin, Texas place, they seem to know a lot about the music.
Every so often,
Every once in a while, they find a band, or an artist that knows what they're doing. Shout out to all those live bands that are getting back out there. We were talking about your favorite concert experiences. I may carry that over to tomorrow while Trey's at the Mullet Open, because it was such a good discussion today, and you guys were throwing in a lot of good stuff. But hopefully you can get yourself to a concert if you love to do such things. Great text coming in today on the Specs text line, 337-3776. We love all of you, even if you disagree with us. Like the guy that didn't think the mustard should go on the egg roll. I understand it sounds gross. I'm just telling you it's my thing. So if you don't want to try it.
Good for you for staying strong.
I totally understand staying where you are, but it's just one of those things I love. I don't know why. All right, so let's go stems and seeds here, and we will get you updated. Let's start with softball.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. I've gotten kind of hooked on this softball tournament, but I think I'm going to be left sad. Oklahoma's up 2-0, bottom of the second. Florida State, I don't think it's going to have enough, Trey. I hope I can do some reverse psychology on them, but I think Oklahoma's going to go ahead and win another national championship. Texas softball fans, that is what you've got to deal with in your conference. I believe I heard last night, Trey, during the game, Oklahoma's lost only 4 games all year long, and they've avenged all 4 losses. Well, goody.
Yeah, well, we've already seen it in the World Series, so I guess it wouldn't be surprising for it to happen in the championship round.
Brother. All right, so that one's going on tonight in the NBA. You've got Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Let's see. Back in Milwaukee now, down 2-0. Can the Bucks win 4 out of 5 against this Brooklyn team? I'm going to say no.
No.
Don't know if Harden's even playing. I don't think it matters anymore. Like, what does Milwaukee do here?
It doesn't matter. They need help from the league, which means help from the officials. They may get it tonight, but ultimately, Brooklyn is going to run them out of the series. It's not going to take any more than 6, but you're right. It probably is going to cap out at 5.
You said something important there. Here's what they need. 2 parts. They need fouls to get called when Giannis drives the basket early, and they need Chris Middleton to hit everything. If those 2 things happen, they can probably win the game.
They have a chance.
They'll have a shot late in the game. That's what you got to do with Brooklyn, man. They're so good. You've got to put up a fight. It's like, you know, Floyd Mayweather just had that crazy exhibition. It's like Floyd in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about can you beat Floyd Mayweather. It's can you even get to the 10th round and make it matter anymore.
Right.
Usually when the 10th round started, you're like, what do you have? Do you have 9-0? Like, oh, I got 8-1. Oh, you're being mean.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? You know, they're dominating enough. Brooklyn's been shutting them down. That's 6:30 on ESPN. Then the Clippers and Utah at 9 o'clock. Paul George was okay in the last game. Around 20. But it wasn't good enough if Utah's going to be this good. If Mitchell plays like he played, I don't know if they get Conley back or not. I know he was out for game 1. I'm not sure if Mike Conley's back yet, but the Clippers need to wake up tonight. You said this yesterday, but they've got to split. Got to split in Utah. They go down 2-0. It's going to be just like these other series. Probably done.
Yeah, you're right about that. And the Phoenix Suns are in clear control right now, up 2-0 over the Denver Nuggets. I feel like Denver can work their way back into that series as that one shifts to the Rocky Mountains. But it's been a pretty ho-hum playoff so far for the NBA. They need to try and figure out a way to get some more excitement there.
Yeah, it's the end of games. Like, teams are running away in the fourth quarter. The fact that Jamal Murray is not playing obviously hurts Denver. Did you catch the stat from Chris Paul last night? 15 assists and no turnovers.
And good for him. He's playing really good basketball right now. He is giving Phoenix a chance.
That hadn't happened in the NBA for 7 years when he did it back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible stat line there. 15 assists, no turnovers, and he's got a good team around him. Some of those young kids are really good. Speaking of basketball, Anthony Black, if you are listening, we hope you're having a good trip to Austin. An official visit is underway. 2022 shooting guard, 6'6 kid out of Capel. He's in Austin for an official visit. Chris Beard, Trey, bringing in some big names from around the state and around the country. These are guys looking at big programs. He's looking at Baylor as an example. Like, just regionally, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Go at, talk to the guys that Scott Drew's talking to. See if you can win some of those battles. Anthony Black is in town for an official visit. That is good news if you're a Texas basketball fan.
Chris Beard has raised expectations for the program, and rightfully so. He is going to do good things here in Austin, Chad. And we didn't get to this one a little bit earlier, but it looks like the Houston Texans are choosing a very interesting way to handle the Deshaun Watson situation with regards to mandatory mini camps.
This is brilliant. We didn't think of this angle, Trey. If Deshaun Watson won't show up to mini camp, just cancel it. How about that? I don't think I've ever heard of an NFL team trying that.
Yeah, it's not like you have a new coaching staff who's trying to implement game plans on both sides of the ball.
Nah. You know what they figured? They figured since the average age of all their running backs is 52 and they've all been through enough camps, let's let them have it off. They'll be fine. Tyrod Taylor, yeah, he gets it. He knows what's going on. That is a wild story. Also, how about this for a modern story? Kareem Jackson, former Texan, was on a, now Bronco, was on a podcast with Aqib Talib.
Okay.
And let everyone know that Deshaun Watson and he are still friends. They've been talking, and Deshaun wants us all to know that he wants to be in Denver. How about that?
That would be pretty wild to see him in Denver with that group of wide receivers.
And that
That's
defense.
A silly group of receivers, and that defense continues to get better, too.
If you're Denver, though, would you take the chance on what you might have to eat there? Because you may have to deal with a suspension, even though the case doesn't happen. And then obviously once something goes down with those depositions, you're bringing that to your team.
You take that risk because you signed Teddy Bridgewater, so you can afford to give up Drew Locke, which I'm assuming that the Texans are going to be asking for as part of that deal. They're going to need draft picks too, so you're likely going to be giving up at least a couple first-rounders, if not three, and maybe one other contributing piece right now.
Are you suggesting Drew Locke come back to the scene of the invisible backpack to play in the NFL?
I didn't even think about it like that, but yeah.
Is that what you're suggesting?
That would be fun.
That really would be coming home, wouldn't it?
And then when the Texans and Bears play in Houston, hopefully they can figure out a way to get Tom Herman down on the sidelines.
Oh, my God. Because
it's less Bush League now that he's not the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, and he could mock Drew Locke as an NFL pro versus a college quarterback.
That's a great point. Tom Herman is now in a situation where he's kind of allowed a little bit of meatheadedness.
Yeah.
I'll let you meathead if you're an analyst in the NFL. Who cares?
Yeah.
You want to headbutt a guy or two? Go ahead.
Headbutt all the helmeted players you want to. You're just an analyst.
Have fun. Invisible backpack. Do all of that. Nobody will see you do it because they don't even let you go to the games as an analyst, do you?
You have less expectations than the strength and conditioning coach is the analyst level, right?
Yeah,
you can get away with a whole lot more than even the strength and conditioning coach can.
You're right. I'd expect more out of that screaming wacko that was at Alabama and that's now at Georgia, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That guy that moved. Yes, Cochran or whatever his name is. It's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, Texans, get rid of the minicamp idea. Also, if you're an NFL fan, you can check out your preseason schedule. The Cowboys and Steelers do have four of those games. The Hall of Fame game with the Steelers. Cowboys go to Arizona. They'll host the Texans, and then they will play Jacksonville as well. So the last game, the fourth preseason game, is Urban Meyer and Mike McCarthy trying to figure out who makes their roster. So whoever your NFL team is, your preseason schedules out for everybody but the Steelers and Cowboys, of course. It's only three preseason games to go with the 17 regular season games. Trey, have a great time at the Mullet Open tomorrow.
Appreciate it. You have a good Friday show and a great vacation, Chad.
I'm going to try to do that. You try to hit them straight. Be funny. Be affable. Be nice. And please try to hit a putt for them.
Not hitting them straight. We'll see about the putt. The funny thing, probably not possible either.
You could do it. You could do it. Think of Bill Burr. Happy birthday to Bill. All right, Triple Option coming up next. Have a great Thursday.